Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can sing this wonderful song this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will make it a reality in someone's life this morning. Lord, you see their cup this morning. If it's empty, fill it up. Lord, if it's half full, fill it all up. Lord, whatever it may be this morning, touch, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for all those this morning that may be laid aside sick. Lord, we pray that the great physician will walk in, Lord, where they are this morning and touch them, Lord. For all those, Lord, that are heavy this morning or downcast or feel upset or discouraged. Oh, Lord Jesus, encourage them this morning. Lord, fill their cup in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you thanks this morning that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you this morning that the anointing will break the yoke. Lord, we thank you this morning that we know that you're here this morning. For your word says that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And Lord, we thank you this morning that when you come, there's always a blessing. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sense of your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're in control. Now, Lord, I pray they'll help me this morning to uplift and exalt thy holy name in Jesus' name. Help me this morning, Lord, to say what you would have me to say. And Lord, I pray that you will encourage someone this morning, that you will touch someone this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? You know, like the psalmist David said, it is good to go up onto the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Oh, there's a great presence here this morning. There's a lovely presence of the Lord in this place this morning. You know, God can do something for you this morning.
Amen.
He's in control. Maybe you've had a week where the devil has been chirping in your ear all week. Now it's time for him to shut up. Because God's going to speak in your ear. And he's going to tell you something positive and something good. Maybe you've spent all week here in negativity because the world's full of it. But this morning I'm here to tell you that God's in control. This morning I want to talk about the power of our God. The power of our God.
Now, there's lots of things you could say about that, but you know, this morning I really want to talk about how that Jesus can feel your emotions. How that he can feel everything that you feel. I know I preached a wee bit about this one other time. I think it was one of the drive-through messages one time I preached a bit about it. But you know, I really got to thinking about this. How powerful our God is. He's wonderful, isn't he? Well, just turn your Bibles this morning to Isaiah, and I'll read a couple of verses, and then you may take your seats. Isaiah 53. And I'll just read. I'll maybe read verses 1 to verses 3 here to start with. Isaiah 53, verses 1 down to verses 3. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. You may take your seats this morning. You know, the power of God. There's so many things you could say about the power of our God. But the one thing out of several things that amazes me about God, our God, the one and only God. There is only one God. You know, this word's full of gods. Objects of worship. We know that that word God is basically means like an object of worship. But when we are talking about God, it's not just some object of worship really, is it? He's all-seeing, all-powerful, all-omnipotent. Everything he spoke on this very world come into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He created the water. He created the fish in the sea. He created every living creature. And when he made man, it says he breathed into him the breath of life. But you know, this is what sets man apart from every beast and every animal of the field. When God breathed into him the breath of life, he put something in man. That's why when we go down the day or any time, it's a sad occasion when you go down to a graveside, but we know that when we go to a graveside and that person's a believer, we know that we will see them someday, that they're more alive now than they were here. Because where they are, there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no suffering. The power of our God. So we could say this morning about all the powerful things that God can do. But as I say, the thing that amazes me is that this God that we serve, the one and only living God, can feel your emotions. He can feel what you feel. You know, if he was some object, you know, all the religions of the world, you know, the Vikings and all different gods, Thor, and different gods. But you know, they were all statues, and they heard different noises, and they said, maybe that was Thor, or this was this one or that one. But you know, they were just a statue. That statue had no power. We know that the Egyptians had several gods. I think maybe they had at least 10 different gods. That was what they said, wasn't why that they were given 10 different plagues to represent that God defeated every one of their false gods. The God, the one and only God. I am that I am God. Showed them. But they had these gods. But their gods couldn't fail. A lump of stone doesn't know what you feel, does it? A lump of stone, you go and hug it, there's no warmth in it, is there? There's no life in it. There's no compassion in it. But this God, this great God, took upon him the form of a man who became obedient unto death. So Jesus literally felt every single thing that a man can feel or a woman can feel. He felt all your emotion. You know, the devil wants to say God can't really represent with you because maybe you think that you're going through something and God can't really, he's not on your level. Let's put it that way. You go to speak to the big boss. And the big boss is telling you about something, but he is maybe living in a great big mansion. He has all the money. He has everything. He has no worries. You think to yourself, he has no. How can he really come down to your level of thinking? He can't really, because he's in a different level of thought, isn't he? But this God took upon him the form of a man. And wasn't it wonderful it says here that he had, it says, for he had no beauty that we should desire him. And it says that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I love that. I love that Jesus had an acquaintance with grief because he felt emotion. The devil maybe wants to tell you, no, you're not meant to show emotion if you're a man. Sure, you're not. You're not really meant to have any emotion, but sometimes you do have emotion. You maybe try to hide it because you don't want to look weak. You don't want to look weak in front of your peers. You want to be the macho man. You can't be seen to show emotion. But sometimes you will have emotion. It's just a physical fact in life, isn't it? Something will annoy you. Something will upset you. But this man faced every emotion and withstood the test of every emotion. I've wrote down here, he knows what you are feeling. Jesus has experienced every human emotion, so he can relate to what you are feeling. And then I looked up this word. What does it mean to relate to something? When someone can relate to something, they feel a personal connection, an understanding or an empathy for the situation, the story or emotion, because they have what? An experience of something similar. You see, when you've got an experience, there's no man can take an experience away from you. You see, the devil maybe tells you you're not born again. The devil might want to tell you you actually never were healed. But when you have an experience, you will not tell a man who's had an experience that he's wrong, because he knows. It's the same in everyday life. You know, you could have a specific trade, but you have an experience in that trade. But some man could have read every book about the specific thing. Say it may be, for example, rebuilding an engine or doing something like that. Somebody could read a book. You know, I bumped into a fella and he had said he had built the engine in his bike, and he was saying he'd watched a YouTube video when he was pausing it and stopping it and working through it, and he got the engine built. But he had no experience. You know, an experienced man could take the thing apart and you would be able to look at it and see where the wear is in it. You'd know where to look for the problem. You've an idea because you have an experience of seeing this before. And this is why our God is so great. Because he has all the experience. He's the one that started time. He's the one that has seen the very first spot of light ever was. He's the one that says that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made. So Jesus has seen all things. But yet withal, he can feel. He's had the experience of it, hasn't he? Then if we read on down here in verses 4, Isaiah 53, verses 4, and we read on down maybe to verses 9. You know, you could read the whole thing, but we'll read on down here, verses 4 down to 9. It says, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I've just wrote here right beside that 1 Peter chapter 2 and 24, which is still the healing verse, isn't it? It says that with his stripes you were healed. So when the devil says, no, it's not possible, with his stripes I'm healed. Full stop. There's no negotiating with it, is there? You don't need to negotiate with the enemy. And it says, I thought this was a good bit too. All we like sheep have gone astray. And as I said before, I know all about that. They will do the dirt every chance they get. And every time I think about it, to think that we are representing that. I seen a wee clip of a man, and he was doing an interview. And while he was doing an interview, he looked around, he goes, look, what did I tell you about sheep? There they are, he says. He was doing this interview, and the sheep had broke out in the background. He says, I told you about sheep. Sheep are always doing something they shouldn't be doing. And he says, if they're clean bait to find something that they can't do, they'll lie down and die. If they can't find some badness to go into, they'll die then just on top of it. So that's just a representation of sheep. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We have all looked over the hedge and decided it would be better. We have all thought, this is not good enough, or that's not good enough, or something else is not right. We all, like sheep, have turned astray. We have all said, maybe I don't need God in my life. I'm getting on fine without God. Some people think if I got God in my life, it would disrupt the whole operation. It would upset the whole thing. It would upset the devil. But I tell you one thing, it'll give you an assured end. Without God in your life, you're a dead man walking. Yes, death may come to all men, and it will come to all men at some point, but we know that we are looking for the day of God's return. And if he returns, we'll not die. We'll be caught up with him in the air. But you know, if God doesn't come, we'll all be going down to the grave someday. And it's a sad occasion, but we know that we've got a hope within us. Because when you've got eternal life, it can't die. Because it's eternal. And when you've got eternal life, amen, that brings you through. It says, verses 7, for he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Imagine, all Jesus had to do was say one word. Say one word. He just had to say, stop this right now. And they would have been powerless. Like when they spoke to him, you know, in John it is, when they come in the garden to arrest him, and it says he spoke and he says, I am he. And they all fell backwards to the ground. That was just wasn't that just a wee glimpse of what we were dealing with. But you know, he come like a lamb, powerless, helpless. He just come and surrendered himself. For what? For me and you. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But we see here that he come here, and it says, and he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He cooperated with them, didn't he? He come when Peter pulled out the sword and cut off your man's ear. He could have just said, right, kill the whole lot of them, wipe them out. Or he could have just said, let 10,000 angels come right down now and stop this whole thing. And he could have just said, I don't want to feel any pain or suffering. I don't want to feel this. We know that he did say, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. He was a willing sacrifice. That's how great our God is. It says, verses 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He made his grave. Jesus even went to the grave. Isn't that amazing? This God that we serve, he's done everything. He knows everything. You know, we have the saying, well, somebody's a know-all, but it's not to be smart, but God knows everything. He is a know-all, but it's not in a smart way. It's not in he's a know-all. It's in a good way. It's in a way to help you, because he knows what you're feeling. So if you really understand what someone's trying to explain to you, you have a grasp of what they're saying. Do you know, if you had a rocket scientist in here and he tried to explain to you how he got a rocket to go into the moon, you probably would be baffled. You couldn't understand the mathematical equations and everything that he'd done. You might have an idea of some bits and pieces of it, but you wouldn't understand it. Or if somebody said to you, this is how you time a thing or do something, you might not fully grasp it, because you don't really have an experience. But God has it all. So he knows. I've wrote down here, he experienced grief, sorrow, sadness, and betrayal. He experienced it all. Now we'll turn our Bibles here to John. John chapter 13. As I say, Jesus experienced every emotion for you and for me. John chapter 13, and we'll read it verses 21, and we'll read down to verses 28. And it says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall surely betray me. Jesus knew what it was like to be betrayed. It's not an awful feeling. When you think that somebody's your closest friend, and you put your faith and trust in that person, and then they turn around and backstab you, as it were, or betray you. But we know this betrayal was for death. This wasn't just any betrayal. You know, this was a betrayal on to death, wasn't it? You know, if you've, I'm sure everybody has seen it, the film about William Wallace, and how that old Robert the Bruce betrayed him, and how he felt betrayal and hurt and pain. But we know then that Robert the Bruce went on to be a great warrior then after that, but I don't know how true it is, but I mean, it betrays, this film shows the emotion of a man who betrayed someone. It shows the emotion that he felt. He felt rotten. He realized that he betrayed him to get him killed. But this man here, like Tommy said, he kissed the gate of heaven and went straight to hell. He came into the world for that cause. It says when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled. So he felt trouble. He felt weariness. He had all the emotions of a man, but yet he was God. We know that the woman come to William Branham one time and said, oh, you're making too much of this man, Jesus. Sure, he was only a man. He said, sure, didn't he weep? She said, didn't he weep? Didn't he cry? Did he do this and did he do that? He says, I know. But when he spoke and told Lazarus to come forth, that wasn't just a man, was it? He had all the power of God, but yet he was a man. And that's why I believe our God is so powerful. Because he can represent on our level. It says then, that after he had said this here, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall surely betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. So they were shocked. They looked and thought, who would betray him? The things that we have seen, why would you betray him? What would you do against him? And it says that now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, who Jesus loved, Simon Peter. Therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then laying on Jesus' bosom saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after this, after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. You see, this man, Satan entered into him, didn't he? But you know, it was a part of God's plan. It was a part of God's bigger plan. So Jesus felt betrayal. He was betrayed by his friend. The very one that was alone with him and seen the miracles, seen everything. He done it all too. He was there. It wasn't as if he was some underpowered person among them or some boy that just crept in unawares. He was there. So don't be surprised. The devil will always try to use someone that you look up to. The devil will always try to use someone that you put confidence in to sicken you. To get you the sickener. But see, if you can get over the sickener, you'll be better and stronger than you ever were. Do you see, if you get knocked down and you're fit to get up, you'll feel better for it. You will have an experience the devil can't take away from you. When you've got an experience, it doesn't matter what happens, you can say, I've been there before, Satan, and I will come through it again. Because I know that my God is able. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were facing a fiery furnace. But they said, whether he will or whether he won't, we're going to serve him anyway. But we know that he is able. Our God is able. You know, when them men went down to spy the land, what did Caleb come back and say the same thing? They all said, there's giants in the land. Oh, we're afield, we can't make it. But what does he say? We're more than able. We're able to go up and take the land. Like the wee song says, we're able to go up and possess the land from Jordan to the sea. Doesn't matter about the giants. The devil wants to put a giant in your path. He wants to put an obstacle in your path that you will feel that you cannot get around. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. And you can't get around it. But you know something? There's something else like that. Isn't there a song about that too? The love of God. It is so wonderful. Amen. You can't get over it. You can't get around it. And you can't get under it. Amen. Didn't David say, tomorrow where I go, should I make my bed in hell? He's there. Should I ascend up into the heavens? He's there. It doesn't matter where you are. You're not on your own. Doesn't matter where you are not alone. You may say, all my friends have abandoned me. All my family is nobody there to help me. Nobody's going to help me. Jesus is there. Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A brother's not always there, is he? A brother can't always be there for you. He maybe wants to be there, but he's not there. But there's this friend. What is it? He goes with you all the time. He is a constant friend who never leaves you nor forsakes you. The power of our God. Why, he's wonderful, isn't it? He felt betrayal. This man, Judas, who sat with him, eating at the table with him, looked like one of the disciples, looked like a good fella, looked well, don't ever hang well, but betrayed him. You know, when the pain of betrayal can be devastating. You know, my father talked a bit about it. He didn't talk too much about it, but he talked about how that there's men that he looked up to who were supposedly men of God, and they betrayed him, and they let him down. And he went off down a wrong path because of it. And he believed, you know, a lot of times he said to me that God, he believes that God could have done a lot more with him if he had never done that. But I don't know where he could or where he couldn't. But, you know, the end was good. He came back to God. It doesn't matter how you start the race. You could start at the back of the grid and still win the race. As long as you're determined to get to the front. Amen. Are you determined to finish the race? Or will you lie down? You know, you all know I do a bit of the bike racing. Well, I went to the race last year, and there's a guy took me clean out in the first corner. Wiped me, took me out of the bike, knocked me down off the bike. So I could have got up and said, well, I'll not do that race. I get up and I says, I'm going to finish this race. Not only did I finish the race, I passed all the boys right up into nearly second place. I could have had the potential to win the race because I didn't lie down and say, well, there you go, that's all over. But you know, that's only an earthly thing. It doesn't mean nothing. But I want you to know that if you've got determination, the boxer goes into the ring, if he gets a slap on the mouth, the devil wants to hit you a good dig in the gut. He wants to put you on the back foot. He wants you to be knocked out. But you know, my father said one time he went to spar with this boy. This boy was training for a big fight. And everybody get into the ring, your boy knocked the life out of them. Knocked them out. Davered them. So he got into the ring with him and he was sparring with him. And they come back in and your man says, what are you doing, boy? He says, what do you mean? He said, we're sparring. He says, are you hitting that boy as hard as you can? He said, no, sure, we're only sparring. He says, hit him as hard as you can. The man's training for a fight. So my dad says, that's all right, I didn't want to hurt him. He says, hurt him? Sure, this boy's training for some big fight. So they went back into the ring again. But he says, your man was smart. Because when your man went to throw a punch, he brought his fist up past the side of his head and he hit him in the back of the head with his elbow. But nobody seen that. And he differed by that. He said he was seeing stars. He had to go again in the back of the ring. He was near knocked out. But you know what he said? Do you see when you get the second wind, you're harder to knock out the second time. When you get the second wind. So he hung back around the ropes and when he got himself guard, when he came back out, he says, if your boy wants to hit, we'll hit now then. So the second clip, your two bonds legs folded in like two jack legs. He near went down and then, get a stop, quick, get a stop. There was no talk about it. They near ruined him for a fight. He would have had the wrong mental attitude after that. If you can get the devil a good boot in the mouth, like an old nasty dog. Do you know that it's not maybe right to talk about animals. People that think dogs are people nowadays. And if you don't want anything, that's a severe thing. But you know, if a dog's going to bite you, if you stand and let him bite you, he'll bite you. If you let the devil eat you, he'll do it. But you know, if you were nasty enough to put your boot in him, he'll turn. Amen. I went one time for a wee bicycle ride. We were riding down the road and Linda said, them neighbour's dogs is nasty, you need to watch them. I says, that's all right. I was coming down the road and the dog come out and Rachel and Joel was only away and there was a whole barking and growling match. And the boy made a go at me and I hit him that big of a boot in the mouth. He lit into the hedge nearly and a whole squealing, yelling match. And I like, get out of my road! And I come on him with the boot and he went out of the road. And after that, you could ride up and down the road. There was no problem. He knew not to come back out. It's just an example. Like our rock one time went to the job on Arn, and they were going round the back of the mountain. Says, "Here, boy, is your brother away around there?" He says, "He's away around." "No. Hey, boy, get him stopped. There's an Alsatian round there. There's nobody can go around there." And he says, "But they went into the round the back. The dog, he was in the back of the box. And he was in the back of the box with the head down." Arn says when he came round the corner, the boy come at him to eat him, and he just come on him with the boot and turned him. Changed his whole attitude, didn't it? I'm not saying, I'm not promoting violence to animals by any means, but I mean, if the devil's going to attack you, are you going to say, "Go on ahead, beat the life out of him"? No! Like the boy said to my dad one time, "Hey, you're safe now. If I slapped you in the mouth, would you turn the other cheek?" And he says, "Sure, try it there," and he says, "I'll not chance it." But you know, God can step into any situation. Like I said before, I was involved that your boy drove into us away years ago. Now, I was angry. But you know, when the time I stepped out of that car to go around, I believe that the Spirit of God moved in me. And it turned out the wee man was a Christian. And he actually rang up to say he was impressed that I actually didn't go around and lie on him, more or less. Because he was totally in the wrong. He drove clean into the side of me. Like we would say, like a complete turkey. Drove clean into this. Put the airbags off in the car, and Linda was expecting Rachel at the time. Now you can imagine, you'd all be angry. You would be all upset. Now, I wasn't overly worried about the car. I was more worried that Linda and everything was all right. But I got out, I was cross. I stepped out quick and I was going around. But then something come over me. And then I went around and spoke to the man. I didn't go around and badger the face off him, rate him or light on him. I went around and spoke to him. And that man had a testimony from that then, that he actually rang up and he says, "I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian?" Well, I says, "I am." I says, "I claim to be anyway, yes." And he says, "Well, I want to say something. You handled the situation very well." He says, "You could have come out and lit on me." He says, "If that had been anybody else, they would have lit on him." But I says, "Well, I believe," I says, "that God was in the position." And I says, "I took pity on you." Because the wee man looked like he was about to heel over. And I took pity. I had compassion on him. But I could have been angry, couldn't I? I could have lit on him and given him a whole eating about how silly he was and everything else. Like, you can't go down the road today if somebody makes a mistake. Toot, toot, toot. If they knew where the brake was as well as they know where the horn is, there'd be no issues, would there? Because you can do that and slow down, you know. But it's toot, toot, toot. Everybody's in a hurry to go somewhere. But everybody's in a hurry to go to hell too. But you know, Jesus has made a way to transform the situation. I've wrote down here, he faced betrayal, as we've seen here. We know that his friend betrayed him. And then, if we turn back in our Bibles then, to John chapter 11. I've sort of basically mentioned it a bit anyway, but I will turn back to John chapter 11. Verses 32 down to verses 45. It says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet and saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping," I love this here. This just shows his compassion, doesn't it? "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, Jesus came with her. He was groaning in his spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept." Jesus had the emotion to actually weep, hadn't he? I know he is an all superior being, but you know, so in other words, he could have actually turned off pain, couldn't he? He could have turned everything off, but he didn't. He felt it. When he went to the whipping post, he felt it. When they put a crown of thorns on his head, he felt it. If you've ever got a thorn in your hand or fell into a thorn bush and got thorns in you, they're sore. They're annoying, but imagine them Jerusalem thorns, the length of them, and drove into his head, and his back whipped, and his beard plucked from his face. Marred more than any other man. Jesus felt it. So he showed here that he could feel. Because when he seen them, he felt sorry and he felt compassion for them, didn't he? He felt compassion for them because it says that Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. They knew it. He loved him. He was a good friend. And it says, some of them said, could not this man which has opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore said, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye the stone away. Martha and the sisters of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me, and I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Why, someday, some glorious day, there's going to be a cry. Like old Shelley sing, there's going to be a wake up. There's going to be a get up. Grave, get out of my way. Save all your farewells. Save all your sad bells. I'm heading to the land of the free. Brother, you ain't seen the last of me. Oh, isn't that wonderful? It says at the start of that song, if my loved ones ever gather around my bedside, and hear the doctor says life is about to flee. If you're a Christian in the crowd, when I'm passing, have no doubt, for brother, you have not seen the last of me. Amen. We have not seen the last of our loved ones that we do have went on to be with the Lord. Because one glorious day, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. Oh, hallelujah. Some glorious day. Jesus wept. Jesus felt emotion. My time has disappeared, and I'm not even to the bottom of this sheet. You shouldn't write too many things down. But you know, I've also wrote down here, Luke chapter 22, we know that how that he felt emotion again. Luke chapter 22, when he went to the Gethsemane, he felt emotion. Luke chapter 22 and verses 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And when he was withdrawn about a stone's throw, away, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. What about that for emotion? What about that for feeling? This is what our God can do. I've wrote that down. And then I've also said, Matthew, you could read on down there. Look, I'm not going to read it. Look, chapter 40, right down to verses 48. We know the whole account and how that he was arrested, how that he was falsely accused. He faced false accusation. He felt emotion. He was beaten. He had it all. But yet it says, as a lamb before the shears was dumb, as a sheep before the shears was dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He took it all for me and for you. He withstood all that for me and for you. You know, I've also wrote down then also John chapter 15. I'll read this chapter, John chapter 15, then I'm going to come to the close because I don't want to weary you being too long. John chapter 15 and verses 9 down to verses 17. And it says, as the Father have loved me. Because I've wrote down here, I had wrote down grief, sorrow, sadness, betrayal. He had compassion, he felt love, and he felt joy. He felt it all. He felt all the emotions that me and you can go through. But it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, Jesus faced all these emotions, so it means you don't have to carry them. We can say, you know, you might feel upset and down, but you can say, I'm taking that off me. I want the joy of God. I'm placing that on him. I don't want to carry that emotion. I want to feel joy. I want to be happy. Jesus has said that he has done these things, that his joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And you can read on down there, but we know that verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. God has chosen you this morning. The power of our God outweighs anything that this world can give or throw at you. You're an overcomer. You're an eagle. Like the man says when he studied the eagles. When the eagles got that bit of meat. But they had to make a decision. There was eagles there that didn't make a decision. There was eagles there that the same meat landed in beside them. But they didn't bother to make the decision to eat a bit of it. They still kept moving. And they died moving. You have to make a decision yourself as well. Like when God spoke to Job, didn't he say, straighten yourself up more or less, stand on your feet like a man, and I'll speak to you now. Sometimes you have to, like they say in this country, buck your act up. Straighten yourself up, pull your socks up. You have to make a move. You can lie there and mope. The meat can be there. If you don't use it, it's no use to you. Like Reinhard Bunke said about the soap. The soap was there, but if you didn't use the soap, it was no use. You could have the nicest soap, but if you never used it, it wouldn't clean you. It wouldn't do nothing for you. The blood of Jesus Christ is there. The power of God is there. You just have to use it. Let's just stand on our feet and we'll pray before I hand over to the pastor this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will help your people this morning. I pray that something I have said may be encouraging, may be of some help. Lord, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, to meditate upon these thoughts, Lord, in the days that lie ahead. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen those that need your strength, Lord. Comfort this morning. Lord, we thank you that we can take comfort in your word, that we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. Lord, we thank you that you have put a hope within us that's not a vain hope, but we know it's a reality. It's a sure, uncertain hope. And Lord, I pray this morning you'll help us, Lord, to cling to these things, Lord. Help us, Lord, to think upon your word daily, Lord, and direct our paths, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll keep your hand upon each and every one here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just a couple of announcements then. Brother Gary's going to come. The Lord bless. We'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock. And then after service tonight, we're going to have a wee cup of tea to say farewell to Sister Carl and David. David's emigrating. But Sister Carl, she's coming back again. She's away for a few months. So pray for David. In a minute, that God will really bless him and use him over in New Zealand. And give him the right job and everything, and just prospering in his life. And so come along the night after service. If you have a friend or someone wants to come tonight for a wee cup of tea, and if you want to bring a bun or a biscuit, bring it along. But everyone's welcome the night after service. We're normal time, 6 o'clock, and then we'll have a cup of tea afterwards. So the Lord bless us. God bless you, and God bless Sam. I believe that was the truth this morning, wasn't it? The Lord feels everything. The Bible says, "With a high priest is touched by the feeling of our infirmities." And C.H. Spurgeon called Jesus the God-man. He's all man and he's all God at the same time. That's why he's unique. God bless you. As Brother Guy comes, God bless you.
Maybe we'll just, it's only just a quarter past, maybe we could sing a couple of choruses and just worship the Lord for a time this morning. Amen. Praise God. While we sing this morning and worship, if anybody wants to take their seat, take your seat. If you want to remain standing, just remain comfortable for a while. We'll just take a moment to worship the Lord. Maybe if somebody would like to pray, give thanks to them, we'll give opportunity for that as well. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Love you, Lord Jesus. How lovely you are, Lord Jesus. How beautiful are you, Lord. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Pastor, if he'd close in prayer for us this morning. This afternoon.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, for your love and your truth you've shown toward each one of us. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that we can go through but you're our forerunner. Lord, you've tasted death, hell, and the grave, and you rose triumphant over the foe. And you're risen this morning, seated at the right hand of the Majesty in High, and the ever living, to make intercession for the saints. Father, you know every need, you know every circumstance, you know every situation. People are suffering and
pain and affliction. Maybe haven't even said to no one, but you know all about it, Lord. Heavenly Father, we lift them before you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray you'll heal people.
Yes,
Lord. In this very room. Lord, that you'll touch them in the name of Jesus. Blood conditions will become normal. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Yes,
Lord, that you'll restore the backslidden, move upon them, renew them, quicken them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Prosper your people, bless your people. Lord, we pray for David as he goes to New Zealand.
Yes,
Lord, I pray that your hand will come mightily upon him. Mm-hmm. That when he gets to New Zealand, Lord, that you'll even call him into the ministry.
Yes,
Lord, that you'll move in New Zealand.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless Carl. Give them traveling mercies, Lord, and just have your way. And Lord, bless your people in this house. And Lord, with so many loved ones this morning that we want to be here and we desire to be here. So Lord, we speak them to be here. And we say it, be here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim them under the blood, under the token. Every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, we claim them, we speak them.
Yes,
that they will be what we have thought them to be. Even your thoughts is higher than our thoughts. And Lord, surely you've given us good thoughts. And we're to speak those things that are not as though they were. And Lord, move on Jordy and Winifred. I pray you'll deal with both of them.
Yes, Lord.
Move on them.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, rid them of the fear of man. Rid them of anxiety, of fear, of demonism. And oh God, may the Holy Ghost move on them.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Touch your people in this place. Lord, if thou wouldst tarry till tonight, Lord, will you move in this place? Will you save someone?
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Add souls, Lord, I pray. Mm. In the name of Jesus, save souls. Mm-hmm. Let the harvest begin.
Yes.
Let us hear the sound going in the top of the mulberry trees, we pray. Lord, we've seen a natural rain, till we don't want to see no more rain. But Lord, we're looking at a spiritual deluge, a spiritual opening of the heavens coming upon your people, on our souls, doing us good, filling us again, overflowing us on the inside, on the outside, coming upon us, the former rain, the latter rain. Saturate us, O God, wet us through with the presence of the Holy Spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Bless Samuel, bless his family, bless all the musicians, bless the elders, the deacons, every brother and every sister, every boy and every girl. Come with your blood as we submit ourselves to you and acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. Part us with your blessing. We'll make it rich and out of no sorrows. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, God. Amen. Lord, blessing back again this evening. Looking forward to the time of fellowship afterwards. Safe home. While we go, we're going to sing the little chorus, Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Jesus got into my heart, got into my soul. I used to be oh so sad, but now I'm so happy and glad. Jesus got a hold of my life and he won't let me go. Praise God.
Jesus got a hold of my life. Oh no!